The Bleck and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by Neighborhood Housing Services of Chicago. If you're looking to get out of that tiny apartment and into your own home, visit nhschicago.org/team.
Welcome back. It's Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Abdallah has the night off. We have White Sox baseball coming at you at 8 o'clock. The White Sox are on the West Coast in Los Angeles to face the Angels tonight. 8 o'clock pregame show with Connor McKnight right here on ESPN 1000. Len Casper and Darren Jackson will have the call of the game at around 8:38 tonight. So you'll hear the game right here on ESPN 1000. Bleck and Abdallah, if you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Our song of the night tonight, in case you missed it, check the podcast, but it was Tom Jones. Yeah. And quite honestly, when I hear this song, I only think about one thing. It's not even Tom Jones. I think of a TV show. Now, Jake Cantu and Tyler Aki are both producing the show tonight. They don't know what I'm talking about. I haven't told them yet. I know that they know because they see Twitch. All you great Twitchers in there at ESPN 1000 Chicago watching the show tonight, they see you. I know they're answering the phone calls as well, but let's inform them. Just a friendly voice. We got a bunch of people here that want to talk about what they think about when they hear this song. Julian on 35th. Julian, what do you think about?
Man, it's easy. I think about the Fresh Prince. It's Carlton.
The Carlton, yes.
Come on,
yes,
man.
Yes, Julian.
On,
yes,
man.
The Carlton.
Come on, man.
Come on, guys.
Come on.
Thank you, Julian.
No problem.
Did Julian know, knows? It's the first thing he thought of. Tyler, do you know what the Carlton is?
Yes, the dance. Yeah.
All right.
Don't worry.
Maybe Oscar can help us out. Oscar, what do you think about when you hear this song on the north side? Oscar.
Come on, guys. Carlton, man, it's like it took over his entire body when he heard this.
That's great.
He couldn't control it when he heard this. Come on.
Now, Oscar, for those who are young, the young Gen Zers in the audience today, I'm looking at you, Jake Cantu. For the young Gen Zers, explain to me the Carlton and explain to me where this comes from.
It comes from, for those of you who have heard of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Carlton was one of the characters, and he was, I guess we can call him the nerdy character in the show.
Sure.
And this was his favorite song, man. It just took over him when it came on.
It's great. And the dance is just wild, right?
Oh, the dance is the best. I think we all are kind of enticed to do it when we hear this.
Yo, no doubt. It's the first thing you think of, right? Right,
exactly,
Oscar?
Yep. Happy those fingers.
Thank you, Oscar. Have a good night.
Yep.
He's all right. So the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Now, Jake and Tyler, this is not the new dramatic dark version where it's very serious. We're talking about 90s NBC Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with Will Smith. Now, no, not the guy who went on, he's the same guy that went on stage and smacked Chris Rock. But back in the 90s, he was like an up-and-coming musician who was on a TV show. Imagine that.
On Nickelodeon, right?
No, NBC. Unbelievable. Mark on the north side. Help my guys out here, Jake and Tyler. What do you think about when you hear this song?
How old I am.
How old are you?
64.
All right. And you understand the Carlton, right?
Carlton? No, I didn't get that. I remember seeing Tom Jones.
Oh, perfect.
I remember the voice, and I remember the dance. And it was kind of close to Elvis, and I'm surprised that you guys went way back in the machine.
Way back.
Way back.
1965.
Tom Jones.
Yeah.
Brought back some memories.
Yeah, we don't discriminate.
Yeah, no, that love the show.
Thank you, Mark.
But Yeah, Tom Jones was kind of like a baby Elvis on TV with the dance and a great voice.
Well done. Love it, Tom. Love it, Mark.
Take care.
Thanks, man. His name's Mark. I called him Tom. Do you know what just happened there? He did onto me what I was doing to you guys.
Yeah.
How about that?
A little, little reverse.
I love it.
Reverse on you.
Yeah. I love it.
Set him up.
Sharpen your pencil.
That's great. Ed in Crete, when you hear this song, what do you think of?
What's up, guys? No, I mean, it brings me back to the 90s of Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince. And, you know, Alfonso Rivera was doing his little, Tom Jones dance.
Now explain to the guys here, what was so special about the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
You know what? When it came out, I mean, God, I was, excuse my language. I'll be 52 in July, so I think Waddle's older than me. I'm not sure yet, but no, it was pretty cool. It's a cool show.
It was great. And Will Smith was hilarious, right? And the stories, even though it was a comedy, it had some serious moments.
Yep. It did have a serious moment. And then he just came out with that Fresh Prince movie, but I kind of watched that on Netflix. It's not the same. I thought it was kind of that, but it's not.
No.
But no, it's really cool. I mean, it's just when you guys played it, I literally flashed back to the 80s. I'm like, I'm back in the 80s. I'm going to grow my mullet out and go, yeah, we're rocking again.
Thanks, Ed. Have a great night.
All right. You guys have a great one. Stay safe. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
The mullet is back. The mullet's back.
What people are doing is doing the mullet, and then you get like a fade on the side, but you keep the long in the back.
The TikTok mullet, yeah.
The TikTok mullet.
Boom.
I don't think it's necessarily back. I think people just want attention.
Like the man bun.
That means it's back.
Like no dude is going around with a mullet just trying to blend in. That's not a blending in haircut.
So
that's a haircut you get because you want attention from wherever the attention may come from.
TikTok, yeah. The TikTok mullet.
So that's
and then
likes,
everyone's
likes, like, views, retweets.
Yeah, and then everyone's like, oh, that
double
let's
thumbs.
Do it. Yeah.
Ron on the north side, what do you think about when you hear this song, Ron?
Yo, I've never felt compelled to call in until today. It was pretty obvious, it's like the caller said, it's Fresh Prince, Carlton dance. I had to pull my car over because I was doing it in the car. Seriously.
So help these guys out. Now, describe this dance. You got Carlton doing a dance to Tom Jones. What do you see?
Got a lot of arm and hip movements there, side to side. Swinging those arms, swinging those hips. It's amazing. Smile on his face. It's an awesome dance.
Oh, it's great. Thank you for the call, Ron.
Appreciate it.
You guys want to hear one more? One more call?
Just for fun, yeah. Come on.
All right. Walt and Homer Glen. Walt, when you hear this song, what do you think about?
I think about Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
tell these guys about why the show was so great.
Man, I grew up on it. It was like me moving to Homer Glen almost. From the south side of Chicago, I moved to Homer Glen. Will.
So you were like Will?
Yeah. You know, my brother was at Carlton, so he did that dance right on point.
Did you flip your uniform inside out to the different colors?
And one time, one year in Halloween, my brother was Carlton and I was Will.
Oh, that's awesome.
Won the Halloween costume party. So that's
great.
How I remember everything.
That's awesome. Thanks for the call, Will.
All right, you have a good one, guys.
You too, Will. All right, there you go, guys. There it is. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I'm sure you've seen it. I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah,
I'm sure
Nickelodeon.
You've seen it in GIF form,
Nick at Night.
Right?
Yeah.
I can see
it. I know the Carlton. Yeah. I've been tweet-stormed with Carlton GIFs.
Thank you,
everybody. Charlie Bevins has checked in. He knew it.
Oh, good.
He's shaming us now.
See, Charlie he had a rough weekend. I was listening to the wonderful morning show here at ESPN 1000, Cap'n Jay Hood. And Charlie just had a rough weekend. He slept twice here at the office on the couch upstairs.
He texted me because he was producing the golf show for me on Sunday morning. And he texted me, hey, If you don't see me in the morning, just come give me a poke. Just come wake me up. I'll be in the conference room area.
Hey, listen, Abdallah and I have done that to Chauncey before. You come in super early and you say, I'm going to go find a couch to nap on. Chauncey, just give me a poke when you're ready to do your show. Hey, that's certainly happened.
Not to expose Charlie, but he's told me before, every time he has to stay, he wants to put his ESPN shirt on. So if, you know, the janitors come by, they don't think he just broke into the building.
Hey, it's a fair way to think of it.
He wears his shirt and he puts his ID right here.
We have great security.
On his collar.
You're right.
It's honestly genius.
It is smart because... true story. One morning, so I used to produce Chauncey's show on Saturday mornings. And to produce Chauncey's show, the show starts at 6 a.m. So you have to get in, and believe me, you guys have it easy. You used to have to get in for that shift at like 4:45 because there was production to be done for Chauncey's show, and it took about an hour to get that all situated and get ready for the show. I come strolling in one morning at like 4:30. Come walk in the front door, and our entrance to the seventh floor used to have a couch right next to the entrance. And one morning I come walking in, and all of a sudden Chauncey sat up like he was the Undertaker. You know the gif of the Undertaker sitting up out of the coffin?
Out of the coffin, yeah.
He sits up and goes, good morning! And I was like, oh!
On the couch?
Whoa. Yeah, he was on the couch. I was like, whoa, what's going on here? I was like, Chauncey, you can't just, good morning! He just sat up and said good morning to me. I was like, whoa, what? And he was like up late, and he decided it'd be easier to just come into work and sleep and wake up to do the show than to wake up at home and then drive in. Oh man, he scared the blank out of me.
Because yeah, as
at 4:30 in the morning, there's no one here, right. And I'm walking in. You know, I'm ready to produce some radio shows, and good morning. And I was like, holy cow!
Yeah, anytime you see someone on that seventh floor,
no,
when you're working that Chauncey shift,
no.
No, yes, no is right.
It's
no
scared.
Is right.
It was.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports.
Black and Abdallah, ESPN 1000, and now on digital FM at 100.3 HD2.
Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. If you want to join the conversation tonight, you can call us at 312-332-3776. We have White Sox baseball coming up at 8 o'clock. Connor McKnight will have the pregame show right here on ESPN 1000. You guys want to talk a little football? Let's talk a little Bears football. I saw this on Saturday. It's from the Chicago Sun-Times. Patrick Finley wrote it. New Bears head coach focused on flags. In two of the last three seasons, Matt Eberflus's Colts boasted the least penalized defense in the NFL. And the column was pretty interesting. The story was interesting because it talked about how Matt Eberflus brought in officials to be a part of the OTA process with the Bears here this spring. And that he wanted the Bears to ask questions to the officials. And he wanted the Bears to participate in listening and talking and hearing about what the officials had to say about the different rules. And one of the things I picked up from the column is that Eberflus talked about how inviting officials to camp is a technique he picked up on in his last stop with promising results, Patrick Finley writes. In two of the last three seasons, Eberflus's Colts had the least penalized defense in the NFL. In 2018... Eberflus's first season as coordinator, the Colts committed 50 defensive penalties, tied for fifth most in the league. The next 3 years, they averaged 31. The Colts were tied for the fewest defensive penalties last year with 23. The Bears had more than twice as many with 47. Overall, the Colts were flagged 76 times last year, third fewest in the league. The Bears had 106 penalties. Finley also goes on to write, here's the quote from Eberflus. We believe in not beating ourselves and doing things the right way. All right. So as a Bears fan, I think there's a lot of stuff that's taken place in the offseason where you can put it in two categories. You can put it into the bin of being hopeful, or you can put it into the bin of this team is going to suck. And I feel like a lot of people just like are over the season before the season has even started. I'm going to put this in the hopeful bin, and this is why. Watching the Bears the last few seasons under Matt Nagy, I thought the Bears were underprepared for each and every contest that they went out for. I don't think that they had good game plans. I thought in-game management was sloppy. I thought stupid penalties took place a lot. You can look at guys like even a player like Akeem Hicks took stupid penalties. It happened all the time on defense. Obviously, the players weren't very good either, you know, in certain spots, quarterback mainly. And then also different reasons that can kind of factor into why the Bears were not as successful. But I think the coaching staff had a lot to do with that. And also Ryan Pace and the players they brought in. I like that there's a coach with attention to detail here now with the Chicago Bears. Does it mean they're winning 12 games or 10 games? No. But I do think this season, when this team gets into games middle of the season, I feel like this team will be prepared to not make stupid mistakes. And I feel like that's what a lot of the penalties that we saw under Nagy were about. Delay of games. Like, think about this. You'd have a big play offensively, a chunk play offensively, and what would happen? Normally, you see a quarterback running down the field and getting his offensive line ready to go, and okay, here we go. We're going to get another play. We're going to hit you with another one. We're going to move this football. In the Bears situation with Nagy, it would be have a big play, chunk play, admire your Denny's menu in front of you, and figure out what you're going to call next. Meanwhile, 20 seconds, 15 seconds, 10 seconds. Oh, that's right. I have to call the next play. He would call the play in late, and then the Bears would have to burn a timeout because they're not prepared. They're not ready to go. They're not at the line of scrimmage. Call me stupid. Call me crazy. I think stuff like this matters. I think in football, when most teams are exactly 500 and winning in the margins matters, I think something like this, where your head coach is focused on making sure your players understand the rules, understand that committing penalties hurts your team, and looking to clean that up this season, I think will help. Jake and Tyler, am I stupid for seeing this and thinking, good, I like that. I'm going to be positive with that.
No, I think you're very, very intelligent for that. I think thing, too, with those Eberflus numbers, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but if you look at it, there are a lot of discipline penalties, too, that are way down for the Colts, and they lead the league in fewest of, like, the discipline penalties. It's stuff like offsides. It's stuff like illegal formations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of procedural stuff that is more taught as opposed to physical.
And the thing is,
and post-play, too.
Right. And when you get into the rhythm of the season, stuff like that matters. Because penalties based on formations kill drives. A penalty defensively, like lining up offsides on a third and long, now changes the down and distance and allows a team to convert. Like, stuff like this matters when we get into the swing of the season. And of course, it could be nothing. But also, the stats are there that Eberflus took a defense that was highly penalized and turn them into the least penalized defense in the National Football League. Now, if he can do that on both sides of the ball, that's a major positive. And again, I think it goes back to the fact that I don't think Matt Nagy was right for this gig. He wasn't the guy. And hopefully, in my take on what we've seen here from Matt Eberflus, and we've talked about it on the Bear Down podcast. You can download the Bear Down podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Bluck and Abdallah, we talk Bears football Tuesdays and Thursdays on the ESPN Chicago app. What we've discussed here is it feels as if the Bears have a coach, even though he's in his first year as a head coach, first gig, he feels like he's prepared. and that this moment isn't overwhelming for him. Now, obviously, when we get into the season and the Bears start losing games and blank hits the fan, it could all change. But as of right now, it seems as if the Bears have had a very smart approach to the offseason program. And we're only 29 days away from the start of training camp. So any little piece to get us closer to the football, I'm all for. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. So I saw that over the weekend and I thought to myself, okay, I like that. I like what I saw. It's new Bears head coach focused on flags. Patrick Finley wrote about it Saturday in the Chicago Sun-Times. I thought it was a good piece. And I like talking football.
Here's a crazy stat, too.
Yeah.
You ready for this one?
Go ahead.
Guess how many offsides they had last year. The Indianapolis
Bears?
Colts.
Oh, no, the Colts?
The Colts. How many offsides do you think the Indianapolis Colts had last year?
What's the, like, what's the average?
The average is about, what am I looking at here? Four or five.
Per game?
This is, let's see, what are these? These are only enforced penalties, so this is for the whole season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
For whole season, I'd say one.
They had zero.
Zero. Okay.
Led the league. Yep.
And so that's an odd. They also have an experienced offensive line. That was one of the strengths of their team, which.
Well, this is the defensive line.
Oh, defensive line. I thought you were saying offensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. That makes a huge deal. And Eberflus was the head of the defense as the defensive coordinator. I think that's huge. That's great. I love that. And also in other news, I saw this on Friday. I also heard about it in Waddle and Sylvie's Waddle's World. Do you guys see the story that Amazon's Alexa may soon mimic voices, including dead relatives? That's right. Alexa's head scientist said there's a desire to build greater trust in interactions between Alexa by putting more human attributes and empathy into effect. There is a possibility that somewhere down the road here, when you ask Alexa to play something, Alexa will respond as one of your former relatives who has passed away. How do you guys feel about that? I think if you want to know, like, how does that happen? I would imagine at some point Alexa would have had to have listened to that person in your home. Right? Because, like, I don't know if you know this, Alexa's recording everything that's going on in your house. You guys know that part,
yep,
too?
Mm-hmm.
Someone sued Amazon and asked for the file.
Release the tapes.
Of MP3s, and it sent, like, over a million MP3 files back to them. Because every single time you say something in the house, it records and stores it to a server. Yeah, shake your head, Jake.
Pass.
Yes. Yeah, you want to talk about never say anything ever in your house unless you want to make sure it's okay?
Well, I assume they're listening already. Like,
how else would it know? Like, have you ever noticed, do either of you guys have an Alexa?
I used to, yeah.
Like, you ever notice you walk into a room and the light will, like, flicker?
Right,
like,
yeah.
It knows you appear. It's listening that entire time.
I should have just got a parrot because they just do the exact same thing.
Yeah, well, the parent won't eventually be the demise of human life
well,
on this planet.
Point. Yeah,
so
then I wouldn't be attacked.
The parent will be okay.
Then.
Yeah, you'll be good.
Yeah, but it could still mimic voices because that's what this is doing, right?
So at some point, the AI will eliminate the voice that it has and it will use voices it has heard and witnessed in the past to respond to you.
That would just make me feel like there's ghosts. There's ghosts in the house.
There's ghosts in the house.
Yeah. If you're just hearing voices of people who are deceased in your past, ghosts.
Well, let me ask a question. Would you want to hear from someone from the past?
No.
Speaking to you, telling you that your timer is up? You know, like, Alexa, set the timer for 5 minutes. And then it's like, Aunt Jude.
Hey, you know. The timer's running out, Tyler.
You're like, what? What?
That was a really good Aunt Jude by you there.
Yeah, I know.
No, I would not want
Tyler,
that.
Tyler, I'm here and your time is up.
Or only do it at funerals. So, like, sell it for funerals.
That's just creepy.
Well, that's the only thing, like, only time it's
fitting. This whole thing's creepy. Yeah. I like my my GPSs, my Alexas, my Siris, all as computerized voices.
Tyler.
Voices that you know are not going to be real voices.
Tyler, your package is downstairs. The delivery is here.
Ghosts.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
White Sox baseball coming up at 8 o'clock. Connor McKnight will have the pregame show right here on ESPN 1000. I'm Chris Black, Black and Abdallah, here on ESPN 1000, 6 to 8 weeknights on ESPN 1000. Abdallah has the night off tonight. The White Sox are in Los Angeles to face off against the Angels. Should be a good matchup. Noah Syndergaard on the mound for the Angels. He's 4-6 with a 3.96 ERA. Lucas Giolito on the mound for the Sox, 4-4 with a 5.40 ERA. It's time for the Sox to start winning, Connor. Connor's standing outside. His pregame show's coming up at 8 o'clock. We need to win some baseball games, Connor. I was at the game on Friday night, and they looked sloppy. The Orioles looked like a team making all the right plays. Defensive plays, running the base pads, doing all kinds of the things that you would like a team to do to play winning baseball. So Connor's going to come up with the pregame show coming up at 8 o'clock. Sox and Angels tonight. You can hear the game right here on ESPN 1000. Len Casper and Darren Jackson with the call of the game just around 8:38 tonight. You know, back on Friday, Rick Hahn was on with Cap and Jay Hood, and he talked about the team's struggles with the fundamentals. We saw it over the weekend with the Orioles. It still holds true. Here's Rick Hahn.
No, we're not happy with that at all. I mean, that drives Tony and the coaching staff, you know, crazy. It's one of the major priorities from the start of, well, really their off-season planning, much less the start of spring training. So when you see fundamental errors, you see things that, you know, we preach throughout our minor league system not being executed at the big league level, it can be very frustrating because you're right. Especially when you're not necessarily at full strength, your margin of error is a lot smaller. So not being able to perhaps get a guy over or miss a cutoff man on a throw from the outfield that gives up an extra base, those are the little things that can cost you ball games. And, you know, I do feel we've been able to tighten some things up versus where we were at the start of the year. But I think Tony would probably be the first to tell you that we can do better in that area, and they continue to preach it.
You know, think about that. That was on Friday. Over the weekend against the Orioles, Thursday, the White Sox lose 4-0 to Baltimore. Friday night, 4-1. Saturday, 6-2. They get the win yesterday. Dylan Cease was fantastic, 4-3. And the White Sox sit there at 34-37. But the first three games of the series, like I just said to Connor as he was standing outside on State Street looking in here at the window, the Orioles were making defensive plays. They were fielding the baseball. They're running the bases well. Steals then leading to good hits, to then coming around and scoring. Baltimore was doing everything right. They certainly outplayed the White Sox throughout the weekend. Rick Hahn also talked about how you evaluate this team with so many injuries. It's something the White Sox have dealt with for now the second season in a row. Injuries to key players all over the place. But when they're healthy, they're pretty good. How do you evaluate this team? This is from Cap and Jay Hood last week.
Well, it slows it from the standpoint of, quite candidly, we don't exactly know what we are or what we're capable of being if we don't have all our guys out there as a unit. Unfortunately, for a variety of reasons, we haven't had nearly enough games with that top six all together. So in the back of your head, you have this idea of what this is could look like and what it's supposed to look like. But then, you know, we all get slapped in the face by cold realities, and you need to assess what is truly possible given the health and the depth of the current roster. It doesn't change our expectations for the year dramatically, even though the personnel may be rotating a little bit more frequently than any of us want. But it does sort of impact what do you project this team to look like come August 2nd when you're on the other side of the trade deadline, and how viable as that unit for winning a championship.
So as Rick Hahn with Cap'n Jay Hood last week here on ESPN 1000, I don't think anything has changed from what he said last week with the series that took place over the weekend against the Orioles. They're in L.A. against the Angels for three. They have the day off on Thursday, and then they're in San Francisco for three more over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. On the 4th of July, they'll be home for the Twins, and they'll start a home series against a team in the division where they're going to have to do some work. I mean, right now, as they sit tonight, sitting 5.5 games back of the Twins, the Guardians are 2 games back of the Twins in first place, and the White Sox, the 5.5 back. Chances per Fangraphs right now to make the playoffs, the White Sox are sitting at 45%. Chances to win the division, 32%. Right now from Fangraphs, the team to win the division, the Twins at 44%. The White Sox are in second place at 32%. Fangraphs not giving as much credit to the Guardians at 23%. But with all of the different injuries that the White Sox have dealt with this year, I think the one thing that is super shocking to me is the lack of power. They're 25th in home runs hit this year in Major League Baseball. That's crazy. They're 22nd in on-base percentage. They're 24th in runs scored. And, you know, the starting pitching last year really carried them through most of the season. But, like, the fact that the bats haven't really brought the same power that they had last year, and I know guys have been out of the lineup, but that's why in the last hour I've been joking about tired legs. I don't know. I've never heard that before. I've never heard of a team complain about tired legs or say that's the reason so many guys are kind of laboring around the base pads. I've never heard that in a professional setting. I've heard NBA teams talk about rest and talk about players like on a long road trip, 5 and 7 days, resting guys and building rest into the schedule because they knew they had so many games backed up. But I've never heard of just tired legs from an entire roster. It's crazy to me. Also, the White Sox have also dealt with the fans at home being vocal. You've heard it in games. You heard it against the Blue Jays. You heard it against the Orioles at times. You hear Fire Tony chants from the stands. Well, Cap'n Jay Hood asked Rick Hahn about that, the fans expressing their frustrations with the team when the team's at home.
You know, I share Tony's sentiment, which I thought he put perfectly when he said essentially that we much prefer them to be there and to care the way they do. And even if they're expressing it in a way that perhaps is negative towards him, it shows that they're passionate, they're invested, and they care. That's so much better than being indifferent or being absent or feeling like they're unable to express themselves. So obviously we all want to be winning on a more consistent basis and fulfilling the promise that we see in this roster, which hopefully after a solid road trip last week and turn to Tim Anderson and our guys starting to get a little healthier over the next stretch, we're able to do so that, you know, those boos and criticisms turn into cheers. But fundamentally, you know, it's frankly, I view it as a passionate fan base expressing themselves, and that's precisely what all of us want.
So there you go, Rick Hahn. You can hear the full interview on the ESPN Chicago app with Cap'n Jay Hood right there on the ESPN Chicago app. That was from last week. White Sox baseball coming up at 8 right here on ESPN 1000. I also saw this in the New York Times earlier today. The brands on your screen. The story is about advertising and how it's become easier to avoid thanks to commercial-free streaming services, skippable YouTube ads, and more. And companies and marketers are responsible for increasing product placement. And it was a whole article about how when it's done right, you see on your shows on Netflix or different places, you see product placement in the show, but you don't even realize you're being hit with an ad. And when I read the New York Times, I like to always grab a Great Lakes Brewing Company Crushworthy and have a nice drink here and have some Crushworthy, which is beautiful, and you can always get it at Great Lakes Brewing Company. It's where you can find Crushworthy. And guys, also, when I'm drinking the New York Times, or reading in the New York Times,
wait,
and drinking
how many
Crushworthy
have you had over there?
One, but just to remind, if you and your partner are looking for a great time to enjoy the best part of the day, check out BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com, promo code ESPN. No shame in it, guys. It doesn't matter your age. BlueChew.com. Promo code ESPN. So the story is about product placement. It's in the New York Times today, guys. And also, if you're there and you're reading about this story, and you feel like you want to gamble, maybe you go to your friendly BetMGM app, and you like to log in there, and you can place your favorite bets right there on BetMGM. So, you know, you could have a, you could take a sip of the Crushworthy. You can get your Blue Chew, and you can also go to BetMGM. Interesting story I saw there today in the New York Times, guys, about product placement.
You just Wayne's World me.
Yeah, very, very meta right there.
I'm just reading stories, talking sports with you guys, and enjoying some Great Lakes Brewing Company Crushworthy. It's delicious. And just remember, if you and your partner are looking to enjoy tonight, BlueChew.com, promo code ESPN.
What was it again?
ESPN, BlueChew.com. So the story was at the New York Times, and it was titled, The Brands on Your Screen. Yeah, it was a good story. I just thought that I'd have some Crushworthy, and I just fill you guys in on this story. Ah, yes. We'll be back.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
It's a real story.
When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah.
I got stories that'll raise the hair in your head.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. Rather looking forward to it.
Black and Abdallah.
On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Thank you to Tyler Aki and to Jake Cantu for producing tonight's show. If you missed anything from Black and Abdallah, check out the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. It's brought to you by Neighborhood Housing Services of Chicago. If you're looking to get out of that tiny apartment and into your own home, visit nhschicago.org. Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. We'll be back tomorrow night starting at 6 to 8 tomorrow night right here on ESPN 1000. That's right. Full shows this week. The White Sox are on the West Coast. Games don't start till after 8 o'clock. We'll get a full show in each and every night right here on ESPN 1000. And White Sox baseball coming up in 7 minutes right here on ESPN 1000. Connor McKnight will have the pregame show right here on your home for White Sox baseball, ESPN 1000. All right, guys, I know that Tyler golfs. He's the host of the golf show here at ESPN 1000. Jake, do you golf at all?
I'm very bad at Topgolf.
All right. You attempt to. So get this. So my wife is getting into golfing, which is fantastic because it's something that I enjoy, but it's something we can do together. And last week she said, I'm going to make the tee time for next week. Like, and she meant well. So this is for yesterday. And she tells me, I booked at Oakbrook. We're booked. We're set. I was like, oh, that happened very easily. Cool. Great. So on Saturday, she was at the Kenny Chesney concert, and I had like a spidey sense. I was like, can you just forward me the reservation for the tee time? And she does. And it's Oakbrook Golf Club in Seattle, Washington.
Oh, no.
And so I just responded to her. I go, I think we're going to have to leave earlier for our tee time. And she goes, what do you mean? I go, you booked the course in Seattle, which is, and quite honestly, Oakbrook Golf Club in Seattle, the website does look a lot like the Oakbrook here in the suburbs.
Gallery photos look nice.
Yeah, I mean, so I was like, all right, don't worry about it. You're at the concert. So I called the clubhouse there, and I told the crusty old man in the clubhouse, and I asked him if he could cancel the tee time without charging us. He thought it was the funniest thing he's ever heard. that we booked a tee time, and we're in Illinois. He goes, you're going to have to catch a flight to get on out here.
Oh, yeah. He went through all the Rolodex of, yep,
mm-hmm. jokes too,
he
huh?
He loved it. Canceled it, no problem. But then it's like Saturday night at 10 o'clock. I'm like, well, I still want to golf tomorrow. Like, how are we going to... And you know how it is. And if you're someone that doesn't belong to a country club, you got to search and you got to book a week in advance and you got to find stuff. So We found a spot, Maple Meadows. We played. We got 18 in, but it was a funny like 20 minutes because she was at the concert, so she wasn't like responding very quickly. And I was like, oh, this is gonna be good. When she's like, why do we have to leave early? And I just sent that text and just waited. And then, well, because we need to drive to Seattle for our tea time tomorrow. Still got to play.
That's awesome.
Good times.
That's a great, like, at least she's trying, right? Like,
oh,
at least,
absolutely.
Like,
yeah, like, I understand that, like, telling this story does make it seem as if, like, it makes her look bad, and that's not the intent. It was funny. It was a funny mix-up. Oak Brook Golf Club, Oak Brook Country Club, it's all the same.
It happens. It happens.
When I saw the WA, I was like, that's interesting. And then I looked it up, I was like, it's interesting because WA is for Washington. We're going to the state of Washington tomorrow.
I love how just the spidey senses, they go off for you.
Well, you know, she booked it, it just seemed a little too easy. We've all booked online. It's not that quick. And it just felt easy. You know, we have White Sox baseball coming up in 4 minutes, but we like to get a report from our friend Brian O'Connor, at Bro Connor, on the White Sox each and every week.
Let's go, 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 White Sox.
Bro Connor's proud of you.
Thanks, guys. Well, not a great week for the Sox, you know, but they got that win on Sunday, so maybe that puts them on the right path as they head out here to the West Coast, to my neck of the woods. So hopefully, you know, I'll be able to catch a few games in Angel Stadium. Very exciting. You know, not as exciting as the Cubs winning 2 out of 3, though. You know, I know that's the lead story all the time. You know, Cubs and Cards are bitter rivals. The Cubs did it. They won the series. Except for the fact that, you know, they were down 5-0, and then the Cardinals, you know, starting pitcher went out. But sure, fine. You know what? Yeah, they got no quit in them. And, you know, I'm sure Grandpa said all the right things. Old Gramps. You know, we probably just took him aside in the dugout and said, we're not going to quit. You know, and, you know, we're not going to talk about that Pirates series before that. No. Now they're back on the right track, you know, and I'm sure Wisdom's going to hit 1,000 home runs against the Reds this week. And, you know, Wilson, he's going to lead everyone in All-Star voting, you know, even though he might not even be on the team by the time the All-Star break comes. But, you know, we got that. And Osiah, he's on his way back too. So everybody's going to be back, and they're going to play the Reds. They're going to win a million games. Anyway, thanks for letting me talk about the White Sox.
Let's go, right. Go, go, White Sox.
Bro Connor's proud of you.
Seems like he's ready for the series. Connor McKnight, White Sox baseball, coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.